the songs that we have sung have specific purpose, that is to focus us on the Lord Jesus and what Christmas really means. And I'll say right up front, I'm the buffer this morning. I'm the buffer between the little kids and the program. Right now they're getting ready, but I have, at the early service, I preached a full message from John 1, 9 through 14, and if you'd like to hear that, you can go to martintowncommunitychurch.org. It'll be on the site a little later on today, but I just want to highlight a few things. First of all, I've mentioned before, and I'll say it again because I think it's amazing, and that is that the whole world, really, in one way or another, celebrates the birth of our Savior. And every religion, almost every religion in the world, we talked about in Sunday school class, does some sort of gift exchange and things like that, even if they don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah and all those things. But this time of the year is a time of giving and receiving. And I find it interesting because in the Bible, we have, now I have to, my thoughts in line. There's three things. We have the gift exchange. And remember when the baby, when Jesus was a toddler, about 2 years old, Herod put out an edict that all babies, baby males 2 years or younger would be put to death because he feared that they would come and usurp his throne. And so the angel appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, take your wife and your child and flee to Egypt. So they went to Egypt, and while they're in Egypt, the men came, the wise men, and it's always been assumed it was three wise men because they brought three different types of gifts, but actually it was probably more than three. It's probably a lot of wise men. But they traveled, and the Bible says that they followed the star in the east, right? So that means they would have came from the west. And so the song that says, we three kings of Orient are, they actually weren't from the Orient. They were from somewhere in the west, maybe Germany. And they were traveling over. And they were traveling over to see the baby Jesus, and they brought gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And those gifts were expensive gifts of that time. And as many Bible scholars believe, that Mary and Joseph used the money that they got from those gifts to finance their trip back to Bethlehem when they got the okay to go back to back there with the child. So we have gift exchange. And I'm sure they didn't exchange gifts. Mary and Joseph probably didn't give the wise men something back in return. But that's where we get this idea of giving and receiving gifts at Christmas. Second thing is the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, and we wrap and we unwrap gifts, don't we? Our presents. And the idea, I told the first service, my wife receives on her email a daily bread devotional every day. It comes automatically. And I think it was last Christmas they had a thing on wrapping the presents, and it said that that Jesus came as God wrapped in human flesh. Jesus was wrapped in human flesh, and when we unwrap that gift from God, we can receive salvation if we repent and turn to Him. And so that's significant, is it not? And then the third thing are Christmas lights. We light up everything. We light the Christmas trees. We light our houses. We light our front yards. We have lights everywhere. Jesus said, I am the light of the world, right? Jesus said that I am the light and the life sent from God to man, to humankind. Jesus is the bridge between us and God. And people might, you know, put all those lights up and do all that without even realizing that they signify that Jesus is the light of the world. Now, last week, we were in John chapter 1, and we looked at the first five verses, and we saw that Jesus came, that baby in the manger was fully God and fully man all at the same time, completely God and completely man. We saw that He created everything. There was nothing that has been made that He did not make, we read about. And so we looked at that in great detail. We saw that He is the light that shines in the darkness. Jesus is the light that shines in the darkness. And it says in John 1:3, or 1:5, I should say, that the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness could not extinguish it. The darkness tried to put it out, but they couldn't. They tried, and when Jesus was crucified on the cross, the darkness thought that they had been victorious and had finally put down the Savior. But then we find out that he rose from the dead and he lives forever and he intercedes on our behalf and he sits at the right hand of God. And we looked at all those things. And then we read in John 3:19, in the same context, it says that this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. And so people purposely rejected the light because their deeds were evil. And if you move ahead into John, go up three verses, we have the famous verse, John 3:16. And it says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son." That's Jesus in the manger. And then Jesus as a beneficiary to mankind. Then Jesus hanging on the cross. And then Jesus rising from the dead. And then Jesus ascending into heaven. And then Jesus sitting at the right hand of God. "For God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." Life from God. Life everlasting. Will not perish. Will not fade away. And I've mentioned in the last few Sundays, and I'll mention it again today, and that is that if you are a child of God, if you are a child of the one true King, if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ and turned, repented of your sins, and committed your life to him, he is your Lord and Savior. Right? That's Jesus Christ. And if you're a child of God, a child of his, a son or daughter, this life on earth is your hell. Life will never be any worse than it is right now, or this life. All you have waiting for you is a glorious future. But if you're not a child of God's, this life is as good as it's ever going to get. All you have waiting for you is God's judgment and God's wrath and God's punishment because you've rejected the gift of Jesus Christ. In Philippians chapter 2, it tells us that Jesus did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, a bondservant, became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. That one day at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. Those who are in heaven, those who are on earth, and those who are under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The day is coming. The Bible says we have two appointments. Hebrews 9:27. It's appointed unto us to die once. Second appointment is the judgment. After this comes the judgment. We will all stand before God, give an answer for our life, and answer to him, what did we do? What did you do with Jesus Christ? And the day is coming when every single person will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The problem is, for some, it'll be too late. So that's what we bring for Christmas. The baby in the manger. It's a beautiful display, and it's all nice and everything, but as you know, it wasn't a nice, clean-looking, glorious-looking manger like this. It was probably dirt and filthy. It was just a place for a roof over their heads that night. But it was God's plan. God's Son came into the world. God in the flesh. No one had ever seen God before that. Remember when Moses wanted to see God when he was up on Mount Sinai and God made him all these promises and Moses said, "Well, show me your face so I know that these things will come true." And God said, "I can show you my face, but then I'll have to kill you." He said, because no one has ever seen God and lived. So Jesus came. And the Bible tells us that Jesus is God in the flesh. All the it's God completely manifest to mankind. Jesus told the Pharisees in John 8, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and the Father are one." Jesus said, "I'm in you and you in me." All these things. And so he proclaimed his deity, his supremacy. He is God in the flesh. He gave that up momentarily to come and to pay the price for our sins. Why? Because he's the only one in the whole universe qualified to die for the sin of another person. Because he's the only one who never sinned. So he took our sin, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says. He became sin on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Amen. That's my 6 minutes. Joe?